You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
American soccer fans, welcome to episode 116 of the USA Soccer Cast. We are bringing you everything about the U.S. national teams, the players, the leagues, and everything else that impacts the game of soccer in these United States. I'm Donald Wine. It's Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023, and we have a special interview for you today. We've had quite a few U.S. men's national team players that have been able to team up together on the club level. And today we're going to focus on the duo of Weston McKennie and Tim Weah and Juventus. Of course, Weston McKennie returned to the Bianconeri from his loan with Leeds over the summer. And while it was expected by many that McKennie would move somewhere else, either on loan or permanent transfer, it never happened. In the meantime, he was joined by Tim Weah, who made an $11 million move from Lille to Juventus. And it's formed a partnership in an unlikely place, right wing back. So we're going to be speaking with Danny Penza from the Old Lady Speaks podcast, the Juventus podcast that is a part of this family here at Fans First Sports Network. We spoke about the two players, how they're playing for the Old Lady, and we addressed the big question about why Juventus coach Max Allegri has decided that the two Americans would together play that right wing back position. So without further ado, let's get into our interview with Danny Penza. We are here with Danny Penza. He is from the Old Lady Speaks podcast, part of the family here at Fans First Sports Network. They cover Juventus, and he has graciously come on here to discuss the American players who play for the Bianconeri. Danny, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
I want to start, obviously, we have a couple of guys here that we're talking about here, Weston McKennie and Tim Weah. Weston McKennie has started six of the seven matches so far this season. He's played in all seven. Tim Weah has also played in all seven and has started one match. And I think you know where we're going with this. In each match, it seems like when McKennie starts, Weah has subbed on for him. And the one game that Tim Weah started, McKennie subbed on for Weah in that game. So both of them are playing essentially as a package deal at that right midfield position. So the first question I think we all have is why? Why are they playing the same position?
The easy answer is two words. It's Max Allegri. It was very much something that, entering the season, Juventus fans Expected Max Allegri to stick with this 3-5-2 formation that he switched to early-ish last season after some not-so-great defensive showings and especially some shortcomings in midfield that, if you ask a lot of Juve supporters, are probably still there. But obviously in the summer, it was the Tim Weah show out wide on the right. He was one of the preseason stars, and everybody's like, okay, this is basically the one signing that Juventus made because of financial reasons, be it the financial investigation is going on in Italy or just the fact that they've had a couple years of hundreds and hundreds of millions of euros of losses because of Champions League and coming out of the pandemic. So, we all pretty much expected Tim Weah is going to be starting on the right. And it, in terms of who's going to be backing up Tim Weah, TBD. We did not expect Weston McKennie to be that backup. We knew that he was a versatile player. He's shown it under Andrea Pirlo in his first season with Juve. He's shown it with Max Allegri in terms of playing out wide if needed. But nobody really expected Weston to suddenly become a full-time starter, let alone a full-time starter at the right wing back spot. So, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of rumors, as you know, about Weston's future and if he would even be on Juventus's roster come this point of the year. I think just the fact that he's suddenly now the starting right wing back just kind of shows you a little something about Juventus's roster and how kind of incomplete it still very much is.
Yeah, and I think most people, who don't watch Juventus, they hear about both of them kind of subbing in for one another and being kind of the American right midfield, so to speak, on the team. But with the 3-5-2, what are they asked to do while they're on the field? Is it different for McKennie versus Weah, or is it where the together they have a standpoint of, hey, this is what we're supposed to do in this right midfield to kind of keep the ball moving forward? And also, again, you said the right wing back kind of position. Is there any defensive responsibilities that they both are having, or do they have separate responsibilities when they both happen to be on the field?
Knowing Max Allegri, that there's always going to be defensive responsibilities, and that's kind of the catch with how this season has been. We saw in Juve's season opener against Udinese, it was one of the best performances we've seen from them in a while. And the simple fact was that we saw different tactics. I mean, Max Allegri, especially in his second stint with Juventus, has been known for very conservative defense first. The phrase corto muso, which is basically 1-0 wins just all the time, has become almost kind of like the phrase du jour in a way, because that's all it seems like he wants to play for. Unfortunately, we saw that this weekend again, and it's why Juventus fans are pretty tired of Max Allegri. I mean, I think he has his positives, but tactically he's very much old school, grind out wins. And against Udinese, all of a sudden here comes Juve, high press, putting the opposition under pressure in their own third. All of this stuff that we had rarely seen from Max in his first stint, let alone his second stint. So, that was the game that Tim Weah started. And it's like, okay, this is from what kind of player Tim Weah is. It's like, this makes sense. He's high energy. He's got pace. He can be a creative outlet on the right. And then all of a sudden, the corto muso kind of starts creeping back in a little bit, and it coincided with Weston being a starter at the right wing back spot. And we saw arguably one of the best performances from not only Juventus as a whole against Lazio a couple weeks ago, but from Weston as well. And it's like, okay, well, maybe him playing right wing back isn't the worst thing in the world, but it's still kind of like, the sample size is still pretty small, so it's like you don't want to get too carried away. But I feel like if it's more of this defensive shift back to kind of the Allegri that everybody's used to, McKinney probably makes more sense because he's, I feel like he's the better defensive player, even though he's out of position. But if you're playing, but the, you know, the counter argument to that is like, if you're playing out on the counterattack, wouldn't you like Tim Weah's pace on the field? I feel like I would. So that's kind of the catch 22 is like, they each have their positives, but we still don't really know what kind of team Juventus wants to be. You know, we hear players, and Allegri too, is like, we want to play a little different. We want to play more of a modern kind of style. But then that Cortomuso creeps back in and it's like, no, Max, you're still the Max that we know in the last 2 years that makes us all grumpy. So it, I don't know. It I don't know if I fully answered the question, and I'm sorry if I haven't, but I just feel like they each bring their different qualities to the table. And at least right now, it feels like, you know, Weston might be the more known commodity in Max's mind, and that's why he's getting more of the playing time than Way is.
Yeah, I think you, first of all, you answered the question beautifully, and we're going to expand on at least the individual performances to date in a minute. You mentioned that, you know, it hasn't been that long that Allegri has kind of employed this 3-5-2 formation. First off, for those who don't watch Juve a lot, what did they transfer from? And is that something, maybe do fans prefer the 3-5-2 that you're playing right now, or do they prefer another style that would maybe signify a little bit what some fans would call more beautiful soccer than the Cortomuso?
Yeah, no, it last season started more 4-4-3-3. I mean, Allegri has the reputation of starting the season with a certain formation, and then at some point in the year, whether it's, you know, November, December, or kind of later in the year, you know, January, February, when his teams typically try and kind of start to roll really into form, you know, he'll make some kind of switch. And it was before the World Cup break last season where Juve went from 4-3, essentially 4-3-3. They kind of switched between 4-3-3 and 4-4-2 to more of this 3-5-2, which is, you know, in typical Allegri fashion, is more solid defensively. Obviously, you've got an extra defender on the field, so in theory, you're more stable at the back. And it did for a bit kind of stabilize things defensively. I think it was like 8 or 9 clean sheets in a row, which, you know, was great, but it was still, like I said, you know, kind of the grinded out kind of 1-0, 2-1 kind of wins. So that, you know, we're kind of waiting for that. You know, is 3-5-2 going to stick? But you also look at kind of the players that Juve have, and, you know, another kind of Allegri staple is like, you always seem to have at least one player playing out of position. You know, Weston has been one of them in the past. Adrian Rabiot playing as kind of a quasi left winger has been something in the past. Obviously, the most well known is probably Juan Cuadrado playing as a fullback, whereas before he moved his way from winger to, you know, outside mid to now fullback was the way his trajectory went. And then now it's, you know, the big one is Federico Chiesa, who is one of, you know, before his knee injury a couple of years ago, was one of the best, I feel like one of the best wingers in the world. He was starting to get there. And then now, he's playing as essentially a striker, but his tendency very much is to drift out wide because that's what he does. And now Weston as well playing as a wingback when he's very much not a wingback. So that is the Allegri staple, is the 3-5-2, but you also have these players not necessarily playing in position.
Yeah, and there's a difference between having kind of a rigid formation where everyone's kind of in their roles, as opposed to, you know, kind of a more fluid situation where you may have start in a formation, but as the guys kind of gravitate towards their natural roles, the formation tends to shift a little bit. So with that in mind, I do want to, you know, kind of focus in on the two American players that we have been discussing. We'll start with Tim Weah. As I mentioned, he's been in all 7 games before, or so far this season, 1 start, hasn't scored or assisted yet, but obviously was one of the big signings that Juventus had in the offseason, very heralded in a lot of people. At least in American circles, you know, heralded the move to a big club. What has been his time like so far at Allianz Stadium, and what have you guys seen from him as far as from a production standpoint?
I think it's been a little bit of a mixed bag, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, he had a very, very good preseason and that got a lot of people, you know, a lot of people interested. You know, he was the signing of the summer, you know, basically because of all the financial restrictions with Juventus anticipating not being in Europe because of the financial cases that they were involved in. You know, everybody expected UEFA to ban him. They ended up doing that, you know. Juve missing out on the Conference League. I think everybody, whether it was kind of, you know, expecting it or not, they're not too upset, more being mad at UEFA being UEFA more than anything. But, you know, Tim being the only real signing is like, you know, I don't know how many people were watching French football each week amongst, you know, our readership or listenership with the podcast. So, you know, Tim Weah, kind of like Weston. It was a bit of a question mark just because people probably weren't totally familiar with him. So I think him starting out preseason so well was a good thing. But then all of a sudden, you know, the playing time goes away and you're starting to wonder, you know, is this going to be a rotational thing or is it just going to be, is this going to be the norm now where suddenly Tim Weah goes from being one of the best players of the preseason to, is he now just an option off the bench at most? So, you know, it's hard to say because I think he brings a lot to the table that Juventus lacks, especially from a pace and creativity point of view. But then Allegri is very much a middle-aged Italian male set in his ways. So once he gets, you know, once he decides on a certain thing, you kind of feel like it's hard to get him out of that. So I think for Tim, obviously, you know, you hope that he gets some more playing time because, like I said, you know, you just feel like he's the kind of player that Juve needs more of and that Juve needs to just, you know, you look at some of the other kind of players in the same role that he plays or that Allegri wants to play him in. And, you know, you look at Inter with their wingbacks, they're very pacey. They're very creative. You know, other teams that play with a 3-5-2 in Italy, it's not as much as it used to be, but they're the same kind of wing backs. And I understand, you know, that Tim isn't necessarily the most experienced wing back because he's more of a winger than a wing back, but there's only really one way for Tim Weah to really get to truly being a wing, you know, if he is going to be a wing back going forward here at Juventus and that's to play. And unfortunately he's gone from, you know, starting and being a really good player against Udinese to now all of a sudden we don't know when his next start's going to be. And I feel like that's kind of Max, you know, deciding on the more proven commodity and all of a sudden Tim's kind of the odd man out.
So speaking of Max, I'm going to do this on this show because we have the power to do so. I'm going to put you in Max Allegri's chair.
Oh boy.
Just for a second. You are in charge. You got the clipboard, you got the whistle, you got the salary and all that. You are Max Allegri.
I'd love the salary.
I'd love it too. I can't give you that on the show, but at least we can pretend for a minute. But you have Tim Weah. And you know about the qualities that he brings to the table. You think about what makes him successful on the field. How do you integrate him more into this lineup if you are Max Allegri?
Ooh, I mean, the easiest one is just to let him play. I mean, I think, you know, the difference obviously between Juventus last season and this season is there's no Europe. So you've actually got time to train. And I think that's been one of the big emphasis this year. Is that instead of, you know, kind of either the Champions League or Europa League grind, where, you know, it's basically a game on Sunday, you got one or two days of training, but there's not a whole lot of training going on because you've got a game 72 hours later. You know, you can actually work on things, you can work on tactics, and I feel like that's the biggest thing where, you know, if Weah is to start making a difference, it's probably on the training field. So I'm not there. You know, I'm not amongst the Italian media and they're not writing a whole lot about it. So we don't really know from the outside looking in. But, you know, with Allegri, he goes with what he knows. And, you know, obviously Weston's been there for him, played under Allegri for a year and a half before going on to that not so great time at Leeds. So at least right now, Weston is more proven than Weah is. And it's just a confusing thing because I mean I I don't want to keep coming back to it, but Weah played so well in the preseason. I know preseason is what it is. You know, you're playing against teams where you're at different fitness levels and different points of preparations, but I mean, he was really good and he was playing in the 3-5-2. I mean, they, you know, Max did not change his formation once during the preseason at all when managers might want to experiment a little. So I don't know. It's hard to say because I think for Tim, you can see that he is the kind of player that Juventus needs. It's just like, okay, what's that kind of thing that needs to kind of get him over the hump and get him into the lineup more often?
Yeah, and especially with not just his speed, but also his creativity on the ball, his ability. We've seen him on the national team just absolutely bamboozle defenders with the ball at his feet. How do you get that more onto the field is the question. I do want to move on to Weston McKennie. As you mentioned just a minute ago, he was at Juventus before. He left in January to go to Leeds. We won't talk about that little stint that he had.
I don't think
Leeds.
He wants you to talk about
it. I don't think he wants you to talk about it either, so we won't. But he comes back. And even throughout the preseason and early into the season, there was a lot of talk that Juventus was going to send him somewhere else, whether it be on loan or on a permanent transfer. He ends up staying. He has appeared again in all 7 matches. He has started 6. He has an assist. First question I have is since his return, how has he been received by the team? You may not know about the team, but at least the fans, how has he been received in his return?
I think obviously it's social media. So you only see the good parts. Obviously he seems like he's been very well received by his teammates. And, you know, he never seemed to be a problem in the dressing room by any means. So I think that's been probably an easy point for him in terms of coming back. In terms of the fans, it's been a total mixed bag. I mean, some have been like, okay, I was more of the camp was like, okay, I can see where he can be beneficial to this roster. But then on the other side, it's like Juventus needs money. They're in desperate need of money. They have no Champions League. They have no Europa League. They have no income other than what Serie A is giving them. So they need to sell players. And obviously Weston was one of those players that I think everybody pretty much expected him to be one of the names leaving, whether, like you said, whether it was on loan or obviously the preferred way to be a permanent sale to get some money in. And, you know, the financial woes that we're still kind of stressing about aren't so prevalent, but him staying was definitely a surprise to a lot of us, me included. Suddenly becoming a starter at right wing back is probably even a bigger surprise. But he's held his own, and he's, you mentioned that assist. That assist came in a game where he was involved in pretty much every goal against Lazio, whether it was the hockey assist or an actual assist. So, he hasn't necessarily done anything to say, I shouldn't be getting the playing time I'm getting. And I think for the most part, he's been a pretty good wing back, but it's like, okay, you know, is this just a temporary thing as Weah gets kind of more comfortable at Juventus, more comfortable with the league, more comfortable with Allegri, or is this going to be a full-time thing where all of a sudden Weston McKennie, who's been a central midfielder all of his life, who looked like he was probably leaving Juventus, is now suddenly a wing back at Juventus and we're playing another player out of position?
Yeah. And again, I'm going to put you back in Allegri's chair for this. He's been playing out of position. You just mentioned that he's been playing on the right, normally plays in the center, also, you know, plays in that 8 role for the national team, at least box to box and really involved on both offense and defense. Again, you're Allegri's chair. Is there a way to utilize him on the field where he's more his natural position, or at least bringing out some of those talents that we have seen him, you know, for club and country?
Yeah. You know, I think knowing Juve's struggles in the center midfield, Adrian Rabiot has had a weird season where he's done some good things, but he's not necessarily, as we joke on the podcast all the time, kind of the same contract year Rabiot that he was last season. Even though it is technically, again, a contract year for Adrian Rabiot. Manuel Locatelli is basically the almost basically guaranteed the a spot in the midfield like Rabio is as the holding midfielder in front of the defense. And then it's kind of become a rotate, kind of like with Way and McKennie, it's become a rotation and on the at the other midfield spot between a couple of young Italians in Fagioli and Moretti. So I would love to see McKennie and Way, two players who know each other very well, playing on the right. And that's something we saw in preseason, and it worked pretty well. I mean, you go back and watch the highlights of Juventus beating Real Madrid in preseason. Guess who is playing on the right wing? It's Tim Weah. Guess who's playing right off his left shoulder? It's Weston McKennie. Guess who played really well together? It's Weston McKennie and Tim Weah. Mm-hmm. So,
and we've seen it in September. They connected for a goal in, you know, against Uzbekistan. So exactly. Yeah, it's interesting how two guys who clearly like got to this point by in part how they play with each other are on the same team, and it turns out they're a like for like substitute according to Max Allegri.
I don't think anybody really saw this coming, and I they seem to be handling it pretty well. Weston McKennie getting this much playing time right off the bat after, you know, coming back from a tough spell in the Premier League when a lot of us were, you know, basically watching the table to see if Leeds would stay up and basically enact that option to buy he had. I don't think anybody saw this coming. And, you know, Weston, to his credit, and I think this is the biggest thing, he's taken advantage of his playing time. He's played well overall. It's just that he's not a wingback. And Tim Weah, even though he's not a natural wingback, he very much fits the billing of a wingback that is needed on this team.
So as we look forward, at your schedule, you're currently fourth in Serie A. You have 4 wins, 2 draws, and a loss. You have some of the other heavy hitters in the league, yeah. I should say, coming up: AC Milan, Inter Milan, and the Scudetto holders, Napoli. Is, first of all, from a whole standpoint, is Juventus? Do you think they're going to fight for the Scudetto, or are we still kind of in wait and see mode until they play some of these games and you see how they play against them?
Yeah, I think it's very much wait and see. I'm not overly optimistic that they'll challenge for the Scudetto. I think it's more of just make sure you're in the top 4. Obviously make sure your financials are in order, and then get back into the Champions League, because that's what this season is missing, is Europe. And if you're gonna basically be able to put into place this long-term project that you want with a new sporting director that you've brought over from Napoli in Cristiano Giuntoli, the only way he can do that is with money. The only way this sport runs these days, it seems like, is with a whole lot of money. So
money helps.
You need the Champions League money to make this roster better. And the only way you're going to do that is top 4. Obviously, Max Allegri has not had great success against the other big clubs in Italy since he came back to Juventus a couple of years ago. So Inter and AC Milan have been playing great so far this season. Inter seems like they're kind of taking a page out of Napoli's book from last year and just kind of rolling through everybody. So it's pretty much TBD until we see what Juventus can do against those guys. And Napoli under a new manager don't exactly look kind of the same battering ram that they did a year ago. But when you have those two guys in Osimhen and Kvara leading the line, then you're going to be a threat pretty much anytime you take the field. So yeah, until Juve play those three clubs, it's still a little wait and see. We'll see how kind of these tactics evolve in a good or a bad way as kind of these next few weeks go on as well.
And as we move on, I know you talked about Allegri kind of being set in his ways until he's not. Right now we have, you know, Team America, Juve, right wing back. You think, looking at the Bianconeri 8-ball, do you think that changes at some point this season? Or do you think, at least for the foreseeable future, we're locked in at seeing these guys kind of being each other's substitute at right wing back?
Like I was saying earlier, you know, you kind of wait for that other ball to drop in terms of Allegri changing formation. But I think with how this roster is built, seeing as it's very, very much like last season. I mean, the starting lineup is pretty much the same as last season goes, outside of a couple of spots. You know, this is what Juve is, and probably what it's going to be all season. So I'm leaning towards, at least right now, the 3-5-2 sticking around. You know, there might be some major thing that happens that forces Max to change, but I don't necessarily see it changing like in previous years, just because the roster is so similar from the previous year. Unlike other years where, you know, you've got a lot of transfer activity. A lot of this year's transfer activity was just dudes leaving, dudes that had no part in the plan leaving. So mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a lot of guys that you expected to stay actually leaving. So it's a roster that is very much one that I think Allegri thinks the 3-5-2 is best for. And I mean, it, as much as we want a 4-3-3 or something a little more creative, a little more ambitious, I don't know. Ambition and Max Allegri in Max Allegri 2.0 doesn't exactly seem to go together.
Well, I think Americans are hoping that he at least tries to figure out a way to get McKennie and Weah on the field as the season progresses. We'll see how that transpires, and also how Juve as a whole performs down the road as they seek a return to the top of the table. Before we let you go, please tell the people where they can find your work and the Old Lady Speaks podcast.
Yes, you can find the Old Lady Speaks podcast on, as you mentioned, the Fan First Sports Network. You can also find all of our Juventus ramblings at blackwhiteredallover.com. As somebody joked on our podcast yesterday after the draw with Atalanta, where can I go to find something other than watching Juventus? And I said blackwhiteredallover.com. So go to your favorite Juventus website, because we've been doing it for a lot of years, and we bring a lot of original stuff. And we're glad that people, even though Max Allegri's tactics aren't very exciting, that people still find our website pretty exciting and pretty fun to visit. So those are the two main places. And at Juventus Nation on the Twitter machine, or whatever the heck it's called these days.
We're still calling it Twitter here.
Okay. Then we'll
Mama
go
calls
Twitter.
It Clay. We would call it Clay.
That's exactly. What we're doing
here. There it is. Danny Penza of the Old Lady Speaks podcast. Again, part of the Fan First Sports Network family. Danny, and also your work over at Black, White, Red, All Over far precedes that of Max Allegri, and will probably be there way after Max Allegri departs Juve. So thanks again for being in the show. We really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We are back, and we want to thank Danny Pinza for his insight on how our American stars are doing at Juventus. It's very refreshing to kind of get it from a, you know, from someone who gets a firsthand look at this team and these two players. And it's quite fascinating to me that Weah and McKennie have both been sort of playing out of position and in the same spot, one substituting on for the other. There's also how each guy is kind of integrated into or back into the squad. Wes McKennie, he went from a Juventus team that didn't want him to Leeds. We won't talk about what happened at Leeds there, but he comes back. The team still doesn't want him. They're trying everything to get him to either take a loan or permanent transfer again because they need the money. And now he's the starter right wing back. Again, not his position, but seemingly playing very well in there. And then you have Tim Weah, who comes in as the heralded signing, but he can't get into the starting 11 despite a great preseason because his buddy Wes McKennie is taking his spot, and they just kind of sub on for each other. It all comes down to Max Allegri being resistant to changes, Penza mentioned in our interview, and this Corto Musso. This just, hey, let's just win by a nose. We don't care how we do it. We don't care how we scrap. If it's 1-0, 3-1, 5-1, whatever it is, we're going to win, but we don't have to be pretty doing it. And Juventus is kind of in this tricky scenario where they have to focus on the on-field results because it affects all of their off-field issues, mainly their financial ones. And I think as a result, we may not see McKennie and Weah on the field together anytime soon, but it is good that they both are getting the playing time, right? One is coming on for the other. Weah in his only start was replaced by McKennie. McKennie has started 6 times. He was replaced by Weah each of those times. So together we have an American right wing back. Now, will it translate to the national team? Probably not. I think we would rather them both be on the field at the same time. We've seen how they've connected with each other on the national team level many, many times, including last month in that goal that Tim Weah had. We hope that that can translate to the club level, but a lot of times that doesn't always work out that way. And I think in the end, the fact that they're both playing is the important thing for now. And hopefully down the line, Max Allegri will get into his head that Wes McKennie and Tim Weah can be on the field together and connect for a lot of dynamic, beautiful soccer that we have seen on the national team level. So again, we thank Danny Pinza for coming on the USA Soccercast. We hope to check back in with him down the line to see how McKennie and Weah are doing with the Bianconeri. Before we get out of here, we haven't done a mailbag episode in a little bit. So short of some news coming through, and I know we are getting close to the men's national team window, we will have a roster soon. We will preview the upcoming games against Germany and Ghana. That is coming down the way very soon. But I want to get some of your questions on the next episode. So if you have topic suggestions or questions on anything U.S. soccer, please send them to usasoccercast@gmail.com, or you can tag us in your questions on Twitter. We are at USA Soccercast. They could be questions about the men's national team, women's national team, the extended national teams, MLS, NWSL, USL, all of those leagues entering the final stretches of the regular season. It could be about some other players that we have playing abroad or something else that deals with American soccer. Probably no messy stuff, even though that does affect American soccer. You can get your messy news elsewhere, but you can send your questions to me and I can address them on the next show. So that will do it for episode 116 of the USA Soccercast. Thank you so much for listening. Again, follow us on Twitter. We're at USA Soccercast. We can keep the discussion going there. Don't forget, we have an affiliate program with Homage, Fanatics, MLS Store, and Breaking Tee. Head to linktree.com/USA Soccercast to learn more. You can click those affiliate links and you can support the show while getting the latest gear. And trust me, they have a lot of great gear that has come out very recently. So we will talk to you again very, very soon. Peace.